religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. When we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 29th on the West Coast, now September the 30th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome those who may be listening live on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and of course, when you hear this on an archive, still want to welcome you. Well, we have Adrian Salbucci, whose name I mispronounced yesterday. I called him Michael Salbucci. I've had so many Michaels on the show lately. Adrian, for some reason, is not making contact with us tonight. I don't anticipate he will be. So I'm going to kind of wing tonight's show. Nothing specific planned other than we're going to cover a few different topics, some news that's behind the scenes kind of leaking out. Got people sending me little clips and web addresses to check out some new information. And as usual, we have the games going on, spinning our wheels. The past couple of nights, we've been talking about some of the world's problems. Certainly, we've been talking about how one operates from the heart, especially in an evil world. And I suppose you could do a lot of things to open up your heart center. I did some reading earlier today. I was reading a rather interesting book called Cosmic Consciousness. And in going through it, there were quite a number of misspelled words and phrases missing. But I sort of pieced the thing together, edited the whole book, and sat down and did some reading, and I was surprised to find that much of what we've been talking about on this show is covered in that book. In a very general sense, the book describes the process of connecting with the Creator. It goes beyond what your religious convictions may be, what faith you practice. Ultimately, we're dealing with the same Creator of the universe, regardless of what name people want to give that power here on the earth. We know so little about the earth, and yet we somehow have limited what God is, or what the Creator is, who the Creator is, and what she can do under certain circumstances. We put our own limitations on God, and God is doing many miraculous things to help us. He's never separated himself from us, although many people act as though we are separated from God, and if we are, individually, that occurs because we have closed off our heart, or we just refuse to listen to the voice that speaks to us through the heart. There are many people in different parts of the universe who have overcome that handicap and have risen in not just in wisdom or in technology, but in the quality of their lives. The length of their lives is much longer, 5 to 10 times longer than ours here on Earth, just because they're not destroying themselves in the process of living. And I want to come back to this topic in a moment, but I was going to play some music, and a song that came to mind for those of you who are in despair is to consider that with all the glories of the universe, there is protection out there for you, and there are those who have risen to a level of consciousness where their role is to help us. And this is a song by Lucinda Drayton. I played this several months ago. I'm trying to get Lucinda on the show, and I know she's agreed to come on. We just have to determine a date. This is her song, 100,000 Angels.
Thank you.
That's actually a soundtrack from a video called 100,000 Angels. At the end, there is a little graphic that says, you just have to look. And that's so true. It's also a confirmation that God does talk to people in England, where Lucinda Drayton hails from. Wonderful song, wonderful arrangement, well produced. And that is the voice of God in music. We can tap into the Creator through our hearts. That's a perfect example. And many musicians do that, many artists, many writers, poets, many truth seekers, sometimes even a politician, believe it or not. But we also wrestle against principalities and powers in high places. And so we are constantly in a struggle when we're operating through the system that has been put before us. This has been sort of a recurring message that I've shared with the listening audience now, ladies and gentlemen, with you since the beginning of January this year. And I've talked about these things off and on over the past 3 years and some months now on a pretty regular basis. I don't have all the answers, but I do have my own connection with the universe, and the universe speaks to me, speaks back to me. I've used the example of visualizing that what you put out, it's reflected back to you in a mirror. In fact, that mirror has the ability to magnify what you do, what you think, what you put out, what your intention is. And it can be emotional, it can be your thoughts, or it can be consciousness, it can be an awareness of who you are, striving to become more or greater. We're all in our own way trying to do that. The system here equates greatness with how much money you have, or what material possessions you have, or how popular you may be, although the popularity is never really explained to you. Everyone has their reason for liking a particular celebrity, a movie star, or a musician, or a politician, or some TV anchor, maybe a writer, maybe an athlete that has some sort of appeal. Some people like certain athletes just because they like the way they look, whether they're good at what they do or not. If they connect with some aspect of the person, that individual becomes popular. Of course, you can teach people to consider that others are popular by merely claiming that they're popular and then saturating one's mind with images of that individual and stories. And where you have dysfunctionality in the life of that individual, which we find in many professional athletes today and many movie stars, are in all kinds of trouble because they can't manage their own lives, let alone maintain a career. Their career path is basically mapped out for them. They just have to show up, do the gig, and go home and become dysfunctional again. The dysfunctionality is promoted. Why? It's a way to dumb you down, is why. It's a way to take your eyes off of what is real and give you more illusions. Now I have a caller who's waiting in the wings here very patiently during that last song. Joe in Idaho, are you with us? Well, now I'm not hearing Joe. I don't know if he's there anymore. Seth, if you're hearing me, and you can let me know if Joe's still there.
Do you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi, Joe. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate the music. I have been playing and writing my own music for years and years, and from what I understand, you and Dr. Ott do that also. You were talking about heroes just now. You're one of my heroes. Everything that you have said has just hit right home with everything that goes on in my spiritual and temporal being, which are one and the same to me. I called the other night. I was crying because they have taken my children away. Another of my heroes is my seven-year-old son. He speaks miraculous things to me, and I have potty trained and changed diapers and taught my children to walk and talk and grow, and they have taken them from me. So I cried very hard the other night, and I wanted to apologize to you for that.
No, there's no reason to apologize for being passionate or compassionate about those that you brought into this world.
Yes, and about the things that we believe in, which brings me to something that you have talked about recently that I was awed and amazed at tonight as I went outside to take a break after trying to put the roof on my concrete root cellar bomb shelter thing, and was sitting out there drinking a cup of coffee, and about straight above the sixth portal, according to what Enoch would be, where the sun comes up, or in the winter equinox, I saw a lot of things flying around up there. And they would go and stop, and some were following others. It looks like some are much faster, and I saw some flashes, and they were gone. I believe that the same thing is going on up there that has been mentioned in Revelations, where Michael the archangel fought with the dragon. I mentioned this on True Ott show a little while ago, that sometimes the people say we can't believe in the Bible because it says things like dragons and bottomless pits, and it's so literal that I can't, it astounds me what the Lord puts into my mind. I really don't have low self-esteem, as maybe Dr. Ott thought the other night. I am blessed more than I can say, even if I have no money. And my heroes are guys like you and my children, I really make a living with my own hands, and from the food to the house to everything, and the Lord has given me the skills to do this. I found 1,000 ways a sawmill won't work. But those are struggles we all go through and tears we all go through on a daily basis. But the reality of the existence of what's around us and what has been around us, some people don't want to believe in a God. They say this 10th planet that's coming, this is the God, this is the Christ they talked about, this is the dragon with the tail. Well, maybe it came from a constellation that is a dragon. Maybe it has a tail like a fire-eating dragon. But it also, something that Christians don't seem to want, for lack of a better word, don't want to touch on, is that Michael, the archangel, fought with the dragon. He fought with the dragon that wanted to take the man-child from the woman who came here. And she was given wings and went to where she was nourished for a half of a time. I don't know by which planet or place that time of reckoning is, but this dragon, I believe, was thrust to the earth. He prevailed not and was thrust to the earth and took a third of the host of heaven with him. And here we find remnants of this dragon bones in museums all over the planet. It seems to me, and I can't find any Christians that want to discuss this matter, nor the matter of aliens flying up there when you can see them stopping and going to the right, and one of them going faster than the other, and then flashes, and one of them's gone. And these things amaze me. Do you have any insights as to what is going on with that?
Yes, I do. First of all, I want you to understand, and the listening audience, I'm not, you know, my intention is not to become anyone's hero.
Well, you are.
I'm merely a messenger.
Yeah,
and
good.
If anyone can be a hero, it is you, Joe, and
yeah,
each and every listener. If you're able to master what I'm talking about, if you're able to go inside your heart and allow your heart to open up, you know, you just merely have to put your attention on it, on what
yeah,
you feel, and keep your attention focused on that, and speak to God, speak to the Creator, speak to Jesus if you choose. Okay, you can speak to anything that's sacred.
I feel pretty humbled at times. That's why I talked about being a wretched man. We all, him without sin, should cast the first stone. We're all corrupted by it.
Yeah, but God didn't put us here to put ourselves down all the time. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a difference between being boastful and having a proper self-esteem. You have God within you. What part of you would be wretched with God inside you? Ask yourself that question. What aspect of you would be wretched if God is in you? And I'm telling you that's the essence of the message.
That maybe that's the wrong thing. I guess a few years ago when I realized everything was corrupt in the system, I was praying in a patch of, while I was picking raspberries in the woods that were way above my head, and the instant messages that come to me literally knocked me to the ground. I don't know whether it's because of my bad spine or what, but I was worried, how am I going to build this house and take care of this little boy and this little girl while he's trying to stick screwdrivers in a 220 outlet? It's so frustrating. What am I going to do? And I feel like the Lord was telling me, you are my son. He's your son. I don't hate you. I love you more than you love him. I put up with the things you do wrong the same way you do with him, and that's what we need to do. That's our job. And so even if the system and things frustrate us, I find great hope in the Spirit all day, every day, because that's how I live my life.
Yes. Hit upon something that opens a gateway again to the heart, Joe, and that is this. You said that the system... What is the system? The system is outside of you, right?
Yeah.
God is in you.
Corrupting things.
Okay. The system is the choice that others would make on your behalf for their own gain, and they do it very shrewdly in a way that you can't really see what's going on unless you begin to understand that it's all based on illusion. It's not real. It's not coming from God. They're doing it. Now, it sounds like that's a contradiction because they are part of the creation too.
Yeah, and they're pointing their guns at my head when I don't like it.
Well, see, they're violating universal laws, aren't they?
It sure seems like it to me. I scream at them a lot about it, but I think that's how come they like to point their guns at me. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So my suggestion, again, and this is something that we'll keep repeating, not just for your behalf, Joe. I think you're tremendously courageous to come on the air, live radio, around the world, and share your most intimate thoughts about yourself. You're bearing your soul to the world. That is the first aspect of opening your heart. That's the first step. Okay? Your heart is open. You're going inside yourself to bring these feelings out. All right? Now that they're out there, what are you going to do about it? You see, you can literally recreate the circumstances of your life. If your intention is to bring your kids back into your life, that will happen.
I think the Lord has told me they will fall into my hands. And so I have total faith in that. I really do. And again, I come back to this thing of how I come out of the beast that I talked about the other night, that I really believe that in order to pray lest you be not tempted, how do I not be tempted? How do I get away from these things that corrupt me? Sometimes I think it's time And because I have the know-how, so I'm not worried. Some people might have a hard time to literally go out with my cutting torch and cut down gates that they have locked us off the land and occupy the land and write what I see happening to my people and teach my children every day. We can read about dragons in the Bible instead of dinosaurs on TV and discuss that and be away from the temptation. I wonder if that's really what we need to do, to get our picks and our shovels and our hoes and go out and occupy the land, especially all these people who are foreclosed on and things. I'm lucky I have a house. They keep trying to take it. I haven't gone in debt for a dime on it. I pounded every nail and notched every log, but they still try to grab at it. Sometimes I wonder whether it's better to just give it all to the poor and, as the word said, come follow me and go and be part of the land and watch the skies and my people and write and get my children to write and rest my head on my guitar and play for hours and find peace in that. But I wonder whether that's making a law unto yourself and running away from things sometimes.
Well, again, you know, if you're asking God to show you what to do, you have to ask him. And you have to keep asking him until you get an answer.
Well, I think that's kind of where I'm at these days, is that it's time to get out of the beast, let go of the money and everything. And I don't know how people do that, but and I'm very blessed that way. I know how to work with my hands, and I've lived in the woods all my life, so that doesn't bother me much. But for some people, it might be a real struggle.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having money or acquiring money. It's the issue of being in love with it so much that you would do anything,
dictates your life,
that you would sacrifice your soul to have it.
Or others.
That seems to be what for whomever. When you sacrifice your soul, you're giving up who you are and who you will be. Where will that leave you? You've got to contemplate these things, Joe. You've got to contemplate that. And again, ask God to show you. Just ask God to show you.
I have been. Okay. I keep waiting for answers. I asked him about these aliens, and what about this stuff I'm seeing in the skies and hearing from things that...
There's life all over the universe.
Yeah, and
okay,
and
the most threatening life we have in our is in our proximity, and that's this on this planet.
I've kind of had a feeling that I'm not supposed to worry about it. There's nothing I can do about it. It's there. It's coming.
Well, don't worry.
It doesn't matter whether the fire and the floods come, how they come, whether it's through a nuclear bomb or through solar flares or whatever it is. All I know is that I'm supposed to prepare for however it comes. And so that's what I am doing right now, and trying to gather my children.
Do it. Do it. Don't just try. Do it. Make a choice that you will do it.
Well, that goes to
it's very empowering,
again,
Joe, when you do that.
Sometimes I get lazy, too.
And you see, someone else has made a choice for you, or they've usurped your choice, your sovereignty. They've usurped
they
it.
Have.
Get it back.
They
set about... Through the heart, set about working that out with God. Now, can you find any greater ally in that mission than God?
No, and I fear no man, and I don't fear these courts. And I told the Attorney General's office they could shoot me dead while I'm screaming, warning my people. And I got thinking, that's stupid. They're going to send a SWAT team after me right away. But
well, your kids don't need that either, you know.
I give up on all of that. It doesn't matter to me. With God on my side, I have no fear. As of March 22nd, I can say I literally collapsed 3 times that day, and I hate no person, and I fear no man.
Okay.
Or beast.
Well, Joe, I appreciate the call. I want to get on with the show because I'm going to
thank you
play
for
a little bit
time.
More music.
And thank you for everything here. And thank you for
talk.
The music.
And I appreciate your call.
I can play. Thank you.
All right. You have a good night, Joe. I'm going to play something rather spiritual. This is a little bit more of a toe tapper. There's a very interesting group called The Yellow Jackets, and it features Russell Ferrante on piano, Bob Minzer on saxophone, Jimmy Haslip on bass, and William Kennedy on drums. Fantastic music. I think this is just four people here. This is a song called New Rochelle, and it'll take you outside the box for sure.
Thank you.
Now, how could you feel down after hearing something like that? Very, very spiritual music, the Yellow Jackets and New Rochelle. My conversation with Joe the other night and tonight was kind of interesting because I detect that he's been contemplating some things and he's looking for answers. And the whole point of the discussion that we've had over the past several nights is to get people to awaken to their own inner power. We have been told, and erroneously, we have been told by ministers and teachers in school and scientists and politicians and media people that we are separate from God, that we are separated from the Creator. And that is a lie. Stop and think, ladies and gentlemen. They lie about everything to us, don't they? Why wouldn't they lie about that? That's one of the most important things that that we have at our disposal, and that is understanding our true nature. Our true nature. We're the planet's operating under a political system. Did God say, well, you have to have politics to make things work on Earth? I doubt it. We've had politics and we have dictatorships going on. We have honest politics where people are actually seeing their vote count, and you have crooked politics, which is what we have. In the United States, we've got voting machines that are rigged. We've got dead people voting. We've got people that aren't voting. That there's the double use of the verb, by the way. When you use a verb twice, it really means you're doing it. It's like the wife that says to the husband after she's asked by him, are you going shopping? And she says, well, I'm going shopping, but I'm not going shopping. It's serious shopping when you have the verb there twice. So these people are voting even though they're not voting. How does that happen? Or how is it, like in Chicago, people are encouraged to vote and to vote often? You get one vote. You really think voting is the answer? Do you think that the choices that you were offered are the answer? If that was true, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. It's as simple as that. And yet the mess will be blamed or passed on from one to another when they're all doing the same things, the same corrupt things, the same illusory principles are the foundation on which the government and the economy are based. They're poisoning the skies, the water, the food, nature. The whole planet is being poisoned. And at some point, it's going to have to puke to relieve itself of all of that. And those that make those choices for you, like the ones I was describing, are being made for Joe. When you feel powerless, the first thing you have to ask is what role you are playing in your own life. Who is the captain of your ship? That seems to be a popular phrase in many songs. I'm the captain of my ship. But it's a ship that really doesn't have a rudder and has a mutiny going on. At least we feel that way. The universe responds to your intention and to your imagination and your desires, and you must clearly state what your desires are. You can put time limits on goals. It works. They do this in business. They teach people that in business. They don't teach the more esoteric aspects of success in terms of how you are interacting with the universe. Most business is approached with one thing in mind, and that's profit or gain. And then behind the scenes, that's really what drives the desire for more power. Power over others instead of building up one's self-worth. The act of building up one's self-worth automatically benefits the whole. And it's creative. It's not destructive. So it's this quest for power and control over others that causes the mess we're in. Eventually, you are going to have to wake up to that. And certainly, it's something worth praying about. Prayer works. Prayer is one way of expressing your desires, your goals, your intentions, and it's perfectly natural. There's nothing mystical about praying. A child can pray and have his or her prayers answered. Why is it so difficult for an adult? Is it because you may be in denial that the world is seeped in corruption? And then we say, well, it's corrupt. Can't do anything about it. And that is a lie too, because you can do something about it. You can apprise yourself of the knowledge that gives you the authority to recognize what in the world is corrupt, and then you can begin to put a stop to it. But you can't pretend like it's not happening, thinking that will make it go away. That's how the world has gotten more corrupt just within the last 1 year and 9 months to the day. Really, let's say 8 months and 10 days. 1 year, 8 months and 10 days. If you want to go with an inauguration, but the world, this nation, the government wasn't just become corrupt. It didn't just become corrupt. It's been corrupt for hundreds of years. And because everyone allowed someone else to make their choices for them. And I don't mean like, well, you know, what do I want to eat today, or where do I want to go on vacation, or what job might I like if I decide that I don't like the job I have. I don't mean those kinds of choices. I mean where you are headed in terms of eternity. Where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself even participating in eternity? And if you do, how will you earn your place there? It's a question to consider. We can pray to God. God will hear us. I'm gonna play a song for you right now while you try to digest a little bit of what I said. And it's not any great revelation what I said. I'm just reminding you of some very fundamental principles of how the universe works and what these things mean. Because we spend so much time looking inside the box at what's been given to us that we fail to look at ourselves and our relationship to the whole. The whole of what was created and all the infinite number of possibilities. This is Andrea Bocelli and Celine Dion, The Prayer. Simply called the prayer. Now, you see how things work out, folks. My guest didn't show up tonight, which happens sometimes. And I could get upset about it because I was looking very much forward to the conversation we were going to have. And it had international implications. Well, what do? We listen to some music that put us in touch with those that are definitely in touch with the Creator, no doubt about that. And in so doing, we put ourselves in touch with the Creator. That's where our answers are, the answers we're looking for. You can look at political strategies, and you can look at all the social upheavals going on. We're fighting spiritual, we're engaged in spiritual warfare, whether we know it or not. Some are just waking up to that fact. And they're looking for answers, and they're, as we often say, they're looking inside the box for the answers. And it's the box that's kept them in prison to begin with. You've got to go inside yourself. Not inside the box. Go inside yourself. Connect with your heart. And speak to God. And God will respond. And you have to do it with feeling. If it's drudgery for you, don't do it. You're wasting your time. If you really choose a different reality, a happy life, a prosperous, abundant life, a healthy life, a joyful life, one filled with love. One filled with light from the source. One filled with knowledge and courage and compassion and appreciation and humility and forgiveness. Then you have to talk to God. And it's using those skills. I mentioned this on a show, I think last night and the night before. Talked about this a little bit last week. These are the qualities that are found in God's Ten Commandments. I was reading the Ten Commandments. Actually, it's kind of interesting reading the different faiths and the Ten Commandments that were handed down to us through God, through many prophets and many truth seekers. These are people that devoted their lives to understanding the universe, understanding themselves, understanding their relationship, and all with the purpose of helping their fellow man. It's not about murdering or profiting, one-upping them or subjugating them. It's about our mutual connection. We're all on this ship together. Happens to be planet Earth is the name. Basically, we're allowed to go either into, for lack of a better word, the latrine, or to walk the plank. Those are the two choices we have right now, because we're allowing others to make those choices for us. If you decide that you want to see corruption end, you have to contemplate what is corrupt and turn away from that and stop supporting the corruption. Stop supporting it out of fear or out of an insanity based upon your refusal to admit that it even exists. That's what governments do. They pretend to us, they tell us that none of this is real, that it's just a temporary problem, that they have the solution, it's coming around the corner. They just need the right number of votes, or they need the right people there to just push all this paperwork through. And that's all we're talking about is paperwork that they don't even read. That's written with the intention of, again, usurping your sovereignty, disconnecting you or separating you from your birthright. It's interesting. The Buddhist Ten Commandments are very similar to those in the Christian faith. I want to read these to you quickly here. Doesn't mean that I am a Buddhist, so don't get your dander up. Just listen to the message here. First commandment, thou shalt kill no animal whatever, from the meanest insect up to man. 2, thou shalt not steal. Governments have violated those first two commandments on a regular basis. They're doing it right now as I speak, as you listen. Thou shalt not violate the wife of another. That goes on. Thou shalt speak no word that is false. That's politics. Right there in the nutshell. Thou shalt not drink wine nor any that may intoxicate. Now, that happens to be Buddhist. They don't say what kind of wine, but nonetheless, well, I guess wine is wine. Thou shalt avoid all anger, hatred, and bitter language. Thou shalt not indulge in idle and vain talk, but shall do all for others. That's giving to the whole, giving to the all. Number 8, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. That's the first precept for war, is to go steal that of those that you are going to attack. 9, thou shalt not harbor envy, nor pride, nor revenge, nor malice, nor the desire of thy neighbor's death or misfortune. Those are the precepts for war. Again, by political organizations and secret societies. 10, thou shalt not follow the doctrines of false gods. Now, it's very similar to the Ten Commandments in Christianity. You've got Christians attacking Buddhists. I don't really hear that much about Buddhists attacking Christians. But then you've got the same thing with other religions as well. And none of it really makes any sense, because if you saw God's Ten Commandments, I doubt that from one faith to another, they vary all that much. Certainly we know whoever created American Idol wasn't following the Ten Commandments. Or for that matter, the mainstream media. These are just some thoughts, folks, to consider, because the answers that you expect to find through the system, this oppressive, draconian system on this planet, are not going to come from a high source. They're designed to disempower you. The rules that they make, they call them laws, and they break them left and right, because they don't apply to them, they just apply to us. That's sort of the understanding we're supposed to have or just accept. But if they're confronted with that reality, they deny it. They lie. They violate, in the Buddhist Ten Commandments, they violate number 4, thou shalt speak no word that is false. A lot to think about. I appreciate you listening in tonight. Again, for those of you who were anticipating Adrian Salbucci, I share your disappointment, but the show must go on, and I hope you enjoyed the slightly different format tonight. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be former U.S. Marine Corpsman Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I want to thank those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, Seth Hendrick on the sound at BBS Radio, also Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, our caller Joe tonight, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.